to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, April 24th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Let's cast our minds back to that first Easter day. The very worst had happened. Jesus had been crucified on Good Friday, and the disciples were shattered. All their hopes and dreams for Jesus' kingdom had been destroyed. They were completely at a loss. They didn't know what to do, so they went back to that upper room where they had shared the Passover with Jesus, and they locked the door because they were afraid that the same temple soldiers who had arrested Jesus were coming for them next. The translation, we should say, says Jews, but it really means the Jewish authorities. Unfortunately, that's been taken to be a diatribe against all Jewish people, and that is not the intention of the story. It's really about those in power whom the disciples were afraid of. They were living with fear. And I think we can resonate with that. There's a lot of fear going around these days, a lot of things to be afraid of. The prospect of this horrible war in Ukraine escalating, shootings in New York City and Washington, another shooting every day, it feels like. The world is a scary place. So I think we can empathize with the disciples in their fear as they locked the door and were sort of cowering there. At least some of them. One of them wasn't there. Thomas. Let's give a thought to Thomas, right? He gets a bad rap. Doubting Thomas. Oh yes, all the other disciples had faith, but Thomas was doubting Thomas. Was he though? My wife pointed out in a Bible study that she was in that Thomas maybe didn't doubt Jesus. He doubted the word of the other disciples. And I imagine his thinking was like this. You tell me that Jesus is raised, so why are you still hiding out behind locked doors? If Jesus is alive, why are you still afraid? I don't know if I believe you. You guys are not very believable. The next week, Thomas shows up, and this time he sees Jesus. And does Jesus criticize him for his lack of faith? Does Jesus criticize him for his doubt? No, Jesus meets Thomas where he is. He shows him his hands and his side. His risen body still bears the marks of his wounds, the marks of the cross. And Thomas believes. Jesus gives a little shout out to us. He says, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those of us who have not seen and yet have come to believe." We often think that the opposite of faith is doubt, right? If only I had stronger faith, I wouldn't doubt. But this gospel teaches me a different lesson. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. The problem the disciples had was not doubt. It was interesting, at our inquirers class on Thursday night, several people in one way or another talked about one of the things that brought them to St. Philip's was they were looking for a church where you could question, where you could explore different ideas about faith, where everything wasn't sort of dropped on you as a load of doctrine, but you had space to explore faith and doubts, right? I like that about our tradition. I like the fact that we are able to ask questions. No question is off limits. Thomas could could be our patron saint. Sorry, Philip, but Thomas could be our patron saint. Instead, the problem was fear. The fear that those disciples had, a very reasonable fear, just like our fears are often very reasonable. And yet it is fear that paralyzes us. Fear that closes us off. Fear that has us hiding behind locked doors instead of venturing out into the world that God has called us to live in, to minister to bear witness to. It is our fears that we must wrestle with and overcome. Your doubts are okay, but your fears are a problem. Why is that? You know, fear is an inbuilt response. As human beings, we have this fight or flight response, right? When we're attacked, we have two choices. Our brain shuts down and we have two choices, fight or flight. The problem if we live in constant fear is that we lose any other capacity. Look at our society, look at our world today. We are a fight or flight world, a fight or flight society, and it is literally killing us. We aren't able to respond with hope, with imagination, and with love because we are guarded. That door is locked because of fear. For the disciples and for Thomas, the worst had happened. Jesus had died. But then the worst was turned to the best because Jesus was revealed to them as being alive. And in that moment, they began to be transformed into something new. I don't know if you caught this in our scriptures today, but look at the disciples in the gospel hiding out behind locked doors, and then just a short time later, look at those same disciples in the book of Acts. They could be totally different people, couldn't they? Here are the disciples boldly, fearlessly bearing witness to the same temple officials who they had been afraid of in the gospel. Now they are boldly confessing Jesus, come what may. Do what you want to us because we know that Jesus is alive. Do what you want to us because we know that death has already been conquered. Something happened to those disciples between that first Easter day and the time of the story in Acts. An inner transformation. Jesus not only walked through that wall to meet them, he unlocked the door and rescued them from their life of fear. He equipped them to live lives of courage and faith. In John's gospel, we don't get the wonderful Pentecost story that we get later in Acts. In fact, in John's gospel, this is Pentecost. Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit onto and into these disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. I don't think he's really talking about sins. I think he's talking about power. Receive the Holy Spirit and put to death your earthly life of fear and live into the faith and hope and courage that I am giving you as my disciples. Death is already done with. Now live this new life. And they do. Not immediately. It takes time. They have to kind of stumble their way into it, because these are the disciples after all. They're a lot like you and me. We don't tend to get things right away. It takes a few times before it really sinks in. The question for the disciples that Thomas was asking them, I think, was, what are you so afraid of? I think that's the question for you and me too. What are we so afraid of? If we believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, guess what? Cancer has no more power over us. Guns have no more power over us. Oppression and unjust governments have no more power over us. War has no more power over us. Nothing has power over us because we are already alive in Jesus Christ. What would your life look like today if you never, ever had to be afraid again? Not afraid of rejection, not afraid of sickness, not afraid of dying, not afraid of anything. What would life be like? I think that's the invitation that the scriptures are giving us today, to imagine a life for ourselves without fear, in which Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit onto and into us and given us power to live lives of courage, of confidence, and of faith. Thomas had no shortage of courage. He was already out there when the other disciples were hiding out. He was out living his life. He had courage to even confront Jesus and say, "Show me, Jesus." He had courage to live. He said to Jesus, "I will die with you." And eventually Thomas, by tradition, lived that faith by becoming a missionary all the way to India. Did you know that one of the oldest Christian churches today is the Mar Thoma Church, the Thomas Church in India? And they trace their lineage back to good old doubting Thomas, who had the courage to go where no one from his family or tribe had been before, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. By tradition, he died there, but he died with faith and with hope and with courage. So in his name and in his honor today, let's imagine a life for ourselves free from fear, a life in which we embrace God's call to love and to serve and to live in a world that is still just as dangerous as it ever was, just as messed up as it ever was, just as wretched as it ever was, and just as beloved by God as it ever was.